Thanks, councillors. May the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Welcome, everybody. We have an apology from Councillor Hiscott tonight, but everybody else is in attendance. And it's nice to think that this is our first meeting that will be live streamed to our community, which is good. So I'm going to move straight on to 1.1, the confirmation of the minutes. Can I have somebody move? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconded Councillor Overton. Any queries on those minutes? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 2.1 is councillor workshops. There's a list there. Can I have somebody move that they be received?
Same.
Thanks, Councillor Van Roon. Seconded Councillor Diprose. Any queries on those workshops? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 3.1 is Mayor's Communications, and I would just like to briefly adjourn the meeting to acknowledge the passing of former Councillor Beryl Marshall, OAM, on the 25th of June 2020. Beryl served as councillor between March 1993 and August 1998, and after a brief retirement, Beryl was re-elected in November 2000 until November 2007. Beryl was a valued and active member of the community, most notably for her involvement as president of the Ulverston Senior Citizens Club, treasurer of the Ulverston Repertory Society, Ulverston Football Association, and choir mistress. Beryl was an active volunteer for Lifeline, the Salvation Army, Australian Red Cross, Central Coast Citizen and Police Liaison Group, and the Ulverston Local History Museum Committee. Beryl will be sadly missed by her family and the Central Coast community. I know that Beryl was also awarded a Paul Harris Fellow with the local Rotary Club of Ulverston West, and she was on council when both Councillor Van Roon and I came on board in 2005, so we had a couple of years with Beryl around the table, and she certainly made a huge contribution to our community. Resume the meeting at 3.2, which is the Mayor's Diary. There's a small list there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please?
Okay.
Thanks, Councillor Beswick. Seconded Councillor Van Roon. Any queries on those items on the diary? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 3.3 is declarations of interest. Any councillor wishing to declare an interest in any item? No. 4.1 is councillor reports. Councillors have been appointed to council by council to the community organisations. Any reports? No. 5.1 is leave of absence. There are no applications to consider. 6.1 is deputations. There are none. 7.1 is petitions, and there are no petitions, which brings us to 8.1, which is councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Van Roon.
No, Mayor.
Councillor Beswick.
Yes, Mayor, I've got a question for the Director of Infrastructure Services.
Councillor Diprose.
One for the Director of Engineering Services.
Infrastructure. Councillor Viney.
No, Mayor, my questions have been resolved by the directors.
Councillor Overton.
No, Mayor.
Councillor Fuller.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. One for yourself.
Councillor Hiscott. Oh, Councillor Hiscott's not here. Sorry. Councillor Carpenter.
Yes, Mayor. One for infrastructure enclosed, please.
Myself. 8.2 is councillor questions on notice, and no questions have been received. 9.1 is public question time, and there were no questions have been received. 9.2 is public questions on notice. There was three questions from the meeting, from the previous meeting, and they have been addressed with a response in the agenda. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Councillor Beswick and seconded Councillor Viney. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. Move on to 10.1. It's minutes and notes of committees of council and other organisations. There's quite a list there. Can I have somebody move that they be received?
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Councillor Van Rowan. Seconded Councillor Fuller. Any queries on any of these minutes? No, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.2 is the quarterly performance report. Can I have somebody move that this be received?
Yes, Mayor, I'll move that it be received.
Thanks, Councillor Van Rowan. Seconded Councillor Beswick. Councillor Van Rowan, would you like to speak to this?
Well, it's quite a list of projects that have been completed or still working on for the quarter. And, you know, if all those things are completed, it'll be very worthwhile.
Thank you. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.3 is correspondence addressed to Mayor and councillors. There's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Beswick. Seconded Councillor Fuller. Any queries on the correspondence? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.4 is the common seal. There's a schedule there. There's an updated schedule that has been circulated. Can I have somebody move that that be approved, please? Thanks, Councillor Viney and seconded Councillor Diprose. Any queries on the common seal? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.5 is contracts and agreements. There's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received? I think you've also got an updated schedule. Thanks, Councillor Carpenter. Seconded Councillor Beswick. Any queries on that schedule? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Bit of ahead of yourself, Councillor Van Rowan. Good that you're alert. 10.6, community services, retrospective approvals for planning and building applications. Councillor Fuller, you've given notice. Would you like to move?
Yes, please, Mayor.
Do you have a seconder, please?
I'll second that
Councillor
motion.
Councillor Beswick. Councillor Fuller, would you like to speak to your motion?
Thank you, Mayor, I will. It's in summary, it's outlined there in the report. I have not a great deal to add. As councillors are aware, we often have the conversation around the table about the reasons for retrospective applications coming in to our staff, and sometimes they can cause great angst if we feel that we can't approve them retrospectively cause inconvenience to and extra work to both the staff and of course the parties concerned. So for me, this motion just asks that the general manager walk us through a process of all getting a better understanding through a workshop environment about the things that impact a retrospective application, and so that might lead to a conversation about how we could lessen those incidents or those applications in the organisation for the benefit of both ourselves and for the general public. So I'd like to understand more. So I'd ask councillors to support that motion.
Any other speakers? Councillor Beswick.
Yes, Mayor. I agree with and I'll be supporting the motion this evening. Retrospective approvals have been, and I've noticed in the time that I've been on council, and as being involved in the building industry, it not only causes some angst between the applicant that is trying to get it approved, but often it causes problems with neighbours where people have done illegal building works, and it just causes friction. The project shouldn't have been built in the first place. So I think a lot of it's about education a little bit as well, but I look forward to being able to discuss this further with the workshop and see what solutions we can come up with so that in the end, A, neighbours, B, the potential applicant can perhaps avoid these situations into the future.
Speakers, well, Councillor Van Ryn.
I would certainly agree, Mayor. While really we've been fairly lucky, we haven't had too many, but one that we've had just recently has caused a fair bit of angst insofar as the people that put the building up have been asked to pull it down, and because they did not get building approval. And well, that it's not a job that the council likes to do. We don't want to throw the heavy stick at people and say you've got to pull that building down. Plus, there's the cost to the applicant. Had he put in an application to council, it may have got approved, and the building could stay there. But sometimes it's a matter of wanting to save a few dollars by not putting in a development application. But it can bounce back and bite you. And so I agree with Councillor Fuller, and I fully support the motion.
I'll be supporting the motion, mainly on the basis that sometimes there are reasons why people build things, but really there's no excuse for it. You know, and I see that some people even think it's easier to ask for forgiveness rather than permission at the beginning of the process, but we really have to educate the ratepayers and the residents of the municipality that it's just not on anymore. It creates a lot of angst around the table and unduly. Thank you.
Any other speakers?
Mayor, just for a second, I'll support the motion, but I'm always in reservation about what we're trying to achieve out of this sort of a motion. I think, to be honest and fair, I'm like Councillor Van Ryn, we don't see a lot of retrospective applications where it causes too much trouble and angst. And if we put a lot of effort and time into finding a way to deal with in retrospective ones without fixing the problem up the front end, I think it's a waste of time. Sometimes people buy properties unbeknown to what's been built and then come in and ask for retrospective applications to be dealt with, which to me is fair enough. And sometimes, Mayor, the process at which people have got to go through put people in them situations where they will build buildings. And if you look back when that's happened over the 10, 20, 30 years, them buildings that have been built and then get a retrospective permit later on in life haven't caused any problem to anybody. But it's probably the process up front that's created the problem. So I hope the workshop has a look at it in a real broader sense through the process, that what causes the issue to start with, and not just put a band-aid fix at the end of the day. But I will support the request, Mayor.
Any other speakers? Councillor DeProse.
I was just going to say, like, you know, congratulations, Councillor Fuller, on the motion. And with what Councillor Carpenter was saying, that's the beauty of a workshop. We actually get to discuss all those things and try and find ways and avenues that are fair to everyone to make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen in the future as far as retrospective applications, permits. Thank you.
Speakers? Councillor Fuller, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mayor. Just to say, as Councillor DeProse has outlined there, that's the purpose of a workshop is to be able to explore all of the information and collect everybody's best ideas, staff and elected members collectively, and see if there's any improvements that we can make to the process and therefore the outcomes. So, thank you.
I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. And 10.7 is natural burials. Councillor Fuller, you've also given notice to move. Would you like to move?
Please, Mayor.
Seconder, please.
I'll second that, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Van Ryn. Councillor Fuller, would you like to speak to this?
Thank you, Mayor. This motion follows on from a meeting that I had earlier in the year with the Care Beyond Cure group, who are an organisation that are particularly active on the northwest coast, working with families, with people through the palliative care phases, and for planning for the end of life care for themselves and for their loved ones, and they're interested in exploring all of the things that impact on our end of life choices and the families that care for us and that pick up the pieces after we are gone. They are a refreshing group of people that speak about end of life in a very compassionate but matter-of-fact way, and it's really quite refreshing is the word, to be able to have an open and honest conversation about the inevitable. One of their largest challenges is the issue of information for the community regarding natural burials, and as I've said there, there is a provision in the state for the cemetery managers, being the municipal councils, to allow for natural burials, which might be requested before, as I've outlined in the motion, religious, ethical, environmental or financial reasons. And it's something that we have the power to permit people to do. And I thank the director for his guidance in the compilation of the motion. But as I've said there, right across the state, the information from different councils is not easily accessible or transparent. In fact, numerous stories of not only out-of-hours information, but calls being made to councils across the state where once they actually found the source of knowledge within that council, that person wasn't able to easily and clearly articulate to the family in distress about what their opportunities and rights were. So obviously for ourselves, we can impact what happens in Central Coast. It's not something that I know anything about, but it is something that we are entitled to be able to do, to legislated to be responsible for. And so I would like us, again, in a workshop situation, the General Manager through her staff in due course to provide us the information about what guidelines and policies and procedures might be needed to allow those people that want to go down that path for their loved ones and themselves to do so, which is their absolute right. So it has taken a little while to get the motion to the table because I was exploring the statewide implications of that. But as you can see there in the report, the director advises us that Burnie City Council have already gone down that track. So once again, to allow us to be able to provide a service to members of our community who are entitled to pursue a natural burial, should they so choose, I'd ask my fellow councillors to support the motion.
Any other speakers?
Well, yes, Mayor. I think more and more we're going to get people that ask for a natural burial. I mean, we are a multicultural society, or we're supposed to be. We don't have too many people of the Muslim faith that live in Ulverston. There are some, but I do know that it is the practice in the Muslim faith for a person to be buried in a shroud and not in a coffin. And so sooner or later, this could come up in our town, and I think we need to be ready for it. There are others, as Councillor Fuller has mentioned, that don't want to pollute the soil, I guess, with highly polished coffins that take a lot of breaking down. And I support the motion.
Thank you. Any other speakers? No? Councillor Fuller, would you like to close?
No, thank you, Mayor.
All right. Motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Move on to 10.8, which is statutory determinations. There's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that be received, please?
So move, Mayor.
Councillor Carpenter and Councillor Beswick. Any queries on those determinations?
A good comment again, Mayor. It's amazing what our staff do and get through in a month-to-month basis. And I think it just shows, we heard today from one of our speakers around at the opening about livability of our community. And it probably shows you with our planning that people do love to live on Central Coast or in Central Coast. So staff are doing amazingly well in getting these things through.
Speakers. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Move on to 10.9, which is the dog management policy. There's a report there and recommendation. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution?
So move me.
Councillor Beswick. Thank you. A seconder, please.
Second.
Thanks. Councillor Carpenter. Is
the seconder.
Councillor Beswick, would you like to speak to this?
Thanks, Mayor. I was thinking, as Councillor Van Rooyen said, the Minister for Dogs, Councillor Fuller, might have moved this, which would have saved us all, myself, having to speak. I'd like to endorse the policy. We've done a lot of work with it over the last couple of weeks. We put the original draft document out to the community. We received lots of feedback, which we appreciate, getting that feedback. We've worked through that. We've made some, what I think are some adjustments, which should, I hope, please most people. We won't be able to please all the people, but it's up to us, and I've been a dog owner for 40 years myself. It's up to us as dog owners to take responsibility, to pick up after our dogs, to have our dogs on leads when they're supposed to be on leads, and everybody in the community will be able to work together, hopefully, to be a bit more cohesive, because in the end, not everybody likes dogs. Not everybody likes dogs running up to them when they're walking on a path or whatever. So, I'm happy with what we've come up with. It's good that the council getting a new compliance officer shortly, and he will be hopefully out and about, and the new policy, I hope, will be enforced a little bit more, which was one of the issues that was raised by people in the community, that the current rules weren't being really enforced. So with this new policy, I hope that we'll be enforcing that as a matter of course. No doubt there'll be warnings initially, but people need to adapt to it and take on board, as responsible dog owners, what we've put forward here.
Speakers.
Yes,
Councillor Van Rooyen.
Well, Mayor, I've become a dog owner again in the last 12 months, and taking for a daily walk on the beach, it's been an eye-opener for me to see so many people walking their dogs on the beach each day. It'd be interesting if we could count the numbers, but I would estimate that there would be, on the West Ulverston Beach in particular, over 100 people a day walk their dogs on just... if you look at the dog tracks, and on the East Ulverston one, there could be as many as 200 people that walk their dogs. Now, almost without exception, all these people that have their dogs on the beach are responsible people. They care about their dogs. They, if they're meant to be on a lead, they're on a lead. Those that do let their dogs go seem to have very firm voice control on with those dogs. And it's unfortunate that just as we're about to implement this policy, that in the paper, I think it was today, some more penguins have been killed, this time in the Burnie municipality. And I guess over the years we've lost a few. But the dogs that are walked on the beach do not kill the penguins. It's the rogue dogs that are allowed out of a night. They're the ones that during the daytime the penguins are out to sea anyway. So people that walk their dogs on the beach are not responsible, and I would suggest that there are more penguins die from feral cats, because they can crawl right into their burrows, than what does with dogs. I'm pleased with what we've achieved in the review of this policy. It has caused a fair bit of angst in the community. New policy will be well accepted. There are some people that won't. I mean, like Councillor Beswick says, you can please some of the people some of the time. You can't please all the people all the time. But, I'm particularly pleased with it. I mean, we had a good section of the West Ulverston Beach to walk our dog. Now we've got all the way from the river right through to Goat Island, which is a big area. I hope it works in the Picnic Point Beach, as we like to call it, from Picnic Point to the river, because that really is a swimming beach, whereas the other section from Picnic Point through to Goat Island is not, because of all the rocks. And I just hope that in the summertime, with dogs walking on that beach, that we don't get a problem with dog poo, with people laying in the sand and so on. But I'm prepared to give it a go, and hopefully people will do the right thing. And I'm pleased with the way this has come together. It's been a lot of work, and I would compliment the director in putting this together, because, you know, he's had to deal with 270 people that have written in and added to the consultation process. We've had petitions with 300 signatures on it of people that are concerned. And I think he's done a mighty job in putting this all together and to make suggestions to us, which we have accepted in the main. We've come up with a few suggestions and a few alterations, and I think the end product is pretty good.
Any other speakers? Councillor Viney.
So I'd just like to say we've put these rules and regulations into process, and hopefully the public will abide by them. And if they abide by them, we'll have no problems. I'd just like to also comment that the public consultation process was well received, because we certainly got plenty of response, and that the council have reacted to that response and brought those ideas into the final product of the management program. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Carpenter.
Thanks, Mayor. First up, I'd like to congratulate the director for bringing this all together for us over a period of time. And I think, not being a dog owner and not being a person living near the beach, but I think this one is probably more, even to me, a little bit more easy to understand and know where you're supposed to be and where you shouldn't be and what given point of times of the year and so forth. But I would just also like to remind people, well, even though this is all focused around the foreshore, dogs go right throughout Central Coast. And I notice most of the issues seem to resolve or revolve around the foreshore, but there's a lot of issues with dogs throughout Central Coast in any part of the place where we live. So let's not just make sure that new dog ranger spends his time walking the beaches and not the streets and the roads of our municipalities.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. And I welcome and appreciate the token title of the Minister for Dogs. However, I am one of nine. And although I have been lobbying for some changes for the past couple of years, I'm really pleased that we've been able to workshop this and receive the amount of feedback that we have from our community and work together to get to a point where we have what I think is a much improved policy. It's more consistent. The signage will have much easier visual interpretation, which can only be of benefit for all members of our communities and visitors alike. There should be less confusion about what it is that we are permitted and not permitted to do with our dogs in any particular part of the, and it is the coastal. I take Councillor Carpenter's point about always remembering that it is that dog ownership is a joy and a challenge and an issue right across the municipality. But most of this conversation is obviously focused on the beach, where we all love to walk our dogs. It's great that we got the amount of responses that we did. We even had Frankie, the four-year-old Maltese Silky Shih Tzu, send in a representation. So I'd like to personally thank Frankie. I'm sure that we all read our way through the 276 written submissions, but I was particularly impressed with Frankie's. But there were some great suggestions. There were some great comments. A resident of Turner's Beach, no grey areas.
is what that person asked for, a clear, enforceable policy. So for the benefit of our staff that are trying to do exactly what it is that we ask them, which is to enforce it and uphold what we've asked them to do, I think that we have provided a policy that hopefully will be able to assist he or she to do their job to the best of their ability. Responsible dog ownership, voice under voice control, it's a complex thing. And so many of those representations were, of course, written from their view, from the view of one person that has had their own experiences, be they good or bad. Lots of conversations about, I walk every day and I never see anybody without their dogs on a lead. Our job, as always, is to take the best will of the collective. And for me, for 2.5 years of listening to people crying on the other end of the phone because they have been attacked, their child has been attacked, their dog has been attacked, or it's now been put down, I respect those individual representations about the fact that they don't see there's a problem, but I know that there is. I think the policy is allowing us to do well, to do good work going forward. And you'll notice that the policy has the new addition of the mediation clauses. My thanks go to the two ladies from Penguin who, after listening to a barking dog for 2 years, came to us with a part of a solution instead of just a complaint. Those ladies know who they are. Let's hope that the staff embrace the opportunity to do the mediation and that that will in itself give us a tool to use to help to resolve some of those things. So, yeah, and again, likewise, I thank you. Thanks to the director for bringing all of that together into a concise agenda item. So looking forward to better, more inclusive and healthier dog ownership in Central Coast. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other speakers? I'd probably just like to draw your attention, well, just to acknowledge that there were some minor errors identified in relation to the calculations in the table in the agenda. But the website agenda was updated before the meeting, and the changes will also be reflected in the minutes. So I think it came down to fractions, just rounding off. So thank you for changing that. I have to agree with probably most of what's been said. I do agree with Councillor Beswick that no matter what we do, we can't keep everybody happy. But I think that this is a pretty good balance. I really appreciate the number of submissions that came in. It just shows the passion that people have for their dogs. And I think, I feel that this is a pretty balanced and simple policy, because I love the traffic light system where you've got red, which obviously you can't go, it's prohibited, the yellow or the amber, which is restricted on lead, and the green where you can let your dog free. That makes sense, it's easily identifiable on signage. We've taken away things like the seasons of the year and the times that, you know, whether you can go on the beach, you know, morning or night, or that, all of that sort of thing. That's all been removed, which I think makes it far more simpler. And I again like to agree with all of you that have talked about responsible dog ownership. All we can do is try to have a really balanced approach and ask our community to be responsible with their dogs so that everybody can enjoy their dogs and enjoy our beaches and our community. If there's no other speakers, I'll ask Councillor Beswick, would you like to close, please?
Yes, thanks, Mayor. Just in closing, just sort of taking on board a couple of the points that were raised. Councillor Van Rooyen spoke about the beaches at West. We in West Ulverston, and I'm a resident of West Ulverston, we had an off-lead beach up until now. So I think that's a bonus that we've been able to give people, is that extra bit of beach. But now both the beaches are on lead. That gives a little bit more distance to walk. So it's up to the residents and the dog owners to do the right thing and respect people in the summertime,
to pick up after their dogs and so forth. So West Ulverston are probably the area that's lost out the most as far as having an off-leash dog area without having to go around to the other side. As far as voice control, I agree with what Councillor Fuller said. It's very easy for somebody to say that I've got voice control, but in the end, it only takes a snap and all of a sudden you've got a kid with a dog in its face or whatever. I would love to be able to walk my dog off lead, and he's pretty good. If I've got food in my hand, he'll walk beside me all the time. But in the end, something can distract him. I know, and the mayor knows this, people as well. The young lady was walking her dog the other day at 7 a.m. in the morning. Dog was walking alongside, a rabbit turned up straight across the road and got hit by a car. Those sort of things can happen, and it's distressing. And even though we think that our dog is under control, it only takes something to make that not happen. I hope everybody will support this motion. I think we've come to a good reconciliation between the good, bad and the ugly. Again, I'll just ask everybody to do the right thing. One of the biggest issues that we had people talking to us about was just pick up your poop. That was the biggest thing that came out of this, especially from people over the COVID time where they've been walking a lot. Some of the paths have been terrible, and it makes you nearly embarrassed to be a dog owner at times because of the slackness of people doing the right thing. And even though I know I've seen lots of people say, but the dog bags are empty, is it the council's job to supply dog bags for people that own their dogs? It's a good question. I think it's part of your responsibility as a dog owner. You can buy the bags from the supermarket, and I think council one's an emergency, not necessary for your full control. But yeah, I look forward to seeing how it's going to get adopted. Like you, Mayor, I like the red, green and yellow. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, and we look forward to getting it adopted.
Thank you. I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Move on to 10.10, which is Council acting as a planning authority. Can I have somebody move that that report be received? Thanks, Councillor Viney. Seconded, Councillor Van Rowan. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.11 is a residential outbuilding shed variation to the building envelope and proximity to a utility at 4 Shaw Street. There's a report there. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution?
Yes, Mayor, I'll move that this development not be approved.
Thank you, Councillor Van Rowan. A seconder, please. Councillor Beswick. Councillor Van Rowan, would you like to speak to this?
Well, Mayor, as is mentioned in the report, a building of this size in a residential area will affect the amenity of the area. There will be too much shading onto the adjoining property, number 8 Shaw Street. There are proposals to build units in number 8 Shaw Street sometime in the future. And if you owned a unit behind a big shed like this, I don't think you'd appreciate it very much. I really can't understand why it's necessary to build a shed this size in a residential area. I smell a bit of a rat. I think the next thing we know that someone will be operating a business from there, and that will affect the neighbours in the area. You know, it's a big shed, 12 metres by 9 by 4.7 at the top of the roof. It's if you look at the diagrams in the report, it's almost twice as high as any of the buildings in the immediate area. The pinnacle of the roof is almost twice as high. I can't understand professional people such as planners, draftspeople or architects even putting in an application like this on behalf of a client. Surely they must have realised that there would be a fair bit of angst over a building that size in a residential area. And so, Mayor, I don't think we've got any option but to knock this back and let these people, design a shed that's more in keeping with the immediate area.
Speakers. Councillor Beswick.
Yes, Mayor, I'll be supporting the motion. I sort of disagree somewhat with what Councillor Van Ruin is saying about the size of the shed. You've only got to have somebody have a boat or a caravan and they would like to put it in a shed, and then that's a use for it. If this shed was sited in a more appropriate spot on the block of land, it would comply, because you can have the person could build an 8.5 metre high two-storey house within 3 metres of the boundary, and that would comply. So 4.7, I take on board, it is a reasonably big shed, but if it was sited in a little bit different position, it would have complied and be allowed to be done. Unfortunately, they're probably pushing the boundaries in this case, but I just didn't want it to be seen that every shed that's getting built is out of place, because you could have a shed that big attached to a house. That's all me. Thank you.
Any other speakers? Councillor Van Ruin, would you like to close?
Well, Mayor, I take Councillor Beswick's point about some people would like to have a big shed for their caravans and their boats and so on. If it was in the middle of the block and there was no shading whatsoever on the adjoining properties, well, we would probably look at it more favourably. It's still a mighty big shed in a residential area. 12 metres by 9 is big. I stepped it out today, and it's a big building. And so, you know, I feel I would not be able to support it the way that it is. If it's in the middle of the block, well, maybe, but not in its current situation.
Motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. Move on to 10.12, which is visitor accommodation, 4 units and an ancillary covered electric vehicle charging facility. Discretionary use at 158 South Road, Penguin. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution, please?
So move me.
It's Councillor Beswick. A seconder, please. Thanks, Councillor Carpenter. Councillor Beswick, would you like to speak to this one?
Yes, Mayor. The planners have detailed the reasons why they've come up with the resolution to support this application. I note there has been only one objection. I had a reasonable look at the drawings. The objection was because it was perhaps too close to their house and for privacy and so forth. I think in this case there's a considerable distance, as has been noted by the planners, for that. So based on reviewing that, I'm happy to support this motion.
Speakers?
Yes, Mayor, I'm Carpenter. Concur with Councillor Beswick. I think the report's sort of detailed enough to show that their privacy, you would believe, would not be interrupted, and being a visitor accommodation, you would think they're only there of a night time anyway. They're not full time applicants, and it sets out all the criteria and the boundary setbacks quite adequate. So support the motion. I think it's a great thing that somebody can come up and use a block stuck in there and put some visitor accommodation into it. I think it's a great outcome for that block.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. Just following on from Councillor Carpenter's comment, congratulations to the owner developer. They've been innovative. They are reusing valuable material. They're allowing for electric vehicle charging. So they are ticking all my environmental boxes, and you know, being able to further infill that part of Penguin that is within good walking distance to all the lovely things that Penguin has to offer, and close to the highway to allow visitors to stay there and shoot left and right. Congratulations to them, and I'm happy to support the recommendation from the planners.
Any other speakers? Councillor Van Ruin.
I'll watch this development with interest, because I think it's just great that they're using shipping containers for this building, and I'm sure that it would be economical to do so. And it might start a bit of a precedence where more and more people would use shipping containers. And so I'm going to follow this with interest, and I think it would be a great project.
Any other speakers? Councillor Beswick, would you like to close?
Just in closing, I just take on board Councillor Van Ruin's interest in the shipping containers, and two shipping containers is stacked on top is probably higher than the shed. So that's just a bit of ironical in some ways, but shipping containers 40 foot long. But anyway, that's a side issue between us.
I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. Move on to infrastructure services. Determinations, there's a schedule there. Can I have somebody move that that be received, please? Thanks, Councillor Fuller. Seconder, please.
Second, ma'am.
Councillor Carpenter got his hand up first. Any queries on those determinations? I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. 10.14 is the tenders for the Penguin Foreshore Remediation and Upgrade Project. There's a report there. Can I have somebody move the suggested resolution?
I move, Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Carpenter. A seconder. Thanks, Councillor Diprose. Councillor Carpenter, would you like to speak to this?
Just shortly, quickly, Mayor, whatever the word I wanted to find there and I couldn't. It's great to see this come in, and it's great to see the price that's been arrived, and congratulate Fairbrother in being the chosen one here to win this tender. Again, it's one of them things, and I think we've got to be very mindful where the money's come from, and we thank our federal counterpart from way back pre-election, isn't it, when this started. Someone with some foresight and some courage to put his hand up and back this project with erosion. I think this could set a precedent for the coastal areas around Tasmania, and it's probably the first one in Australia. We were talking about way back when, where federal governments was very sceptical in funding erosion, because where do you stop once they start? So I think we're very, very fortunate that Central Coast has been the chosen one here to start this off. And if you look at Tasmania, especially down the northwest coast, there is a lot of coastal erosion going on in certain places. So I do hope this is finished and done very, very well, and we utilise all the dollars properly, and then it can show other councils with their erosion problems that perhaps the federal government will get on side with them and stop it from happening.
Any other speakers? Councillor Beswick.
Yeah, I support everything that Councillor Carpenter said. It's just with interest that I note that our Central Coast Council colleagues in New South Wales have got a large problem with coastal erosion where they are. I know I have heard that we should change our name so that we're not Central Coast Council, but that was in a previous time to me being on council, I believe. But yeah, I concur with the thoughts. It's great that we've been able to get it to this budget by pulling a bit of stuff out, which might help us to do a little bit more work into the future. And it's things like what's happening in New South Wales that you realise the power of the sea, and that we can be in front of it rather than behind it.
Any other speakers? Councillor Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, pleased to support the motion that's there. And we could talk all day about rising sea levels and climate change, but this isn't the time for that conversation. There it is, the power of the sea, but it is also the power of public consultation. Yes, the timing was good. I'm also looking for words that can't come. The timing was good in relation to a federal election campaign where we knew that the government was trying to get good injection into worthwhile and ready-to-go products around the country that would be welcomed by the community. And I also acknowledge the former Senator Steve Martin, because he came to our community consultation session and he was the recipient of an invitation, and he took that invitation and he came and he met and he listened and he saw what the product might look like, because we had done the work to have something to show him and to show the people. And so, yes, it's unusual that we have been uh, the the communities and the northwest coast, I would say, is will be the benefactor of some federal government money for this type of work. But perhaps it was because we were ready, and he saw it, and the timing was on our side. But the people of Penguin were also passionate and had some great ideas and some great input, which you know, changed some of the scope and the aspects of the products. So really looking forward to that and everything that it will bring to protect the natural and the built assets that we have there, and again, perhaps be an example of best practice, because sooner or later we've got to have the real conversation about how we're going to fund this right around the country, including Central Coast of New South Wales. So, yeah, I support the motion and look forward to the wall.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Who did we... Councillor Carpenter, would you like to close?
Say something there, Mayor. Will it close, Mayor? Yes, Councillor Beswick, don't ever let ourselves be lulled to somebody that they sit above us on the map and that's all they do. So we can always suggest them to change their name. Remember, all the bad water comes from up there. It was, and Councillor Fuller did remind me, I sat alongside Senator Martin at the time at the meeting and just said to him walking out about funding, and he shook my hand and he said, not a problem, I think, if the words were right. So we have got to thank the past Senator Steve Martin, because he did stand by his word to get that funding way back then off the cuff that night. And again, Council, Central Coast Council, did have their ducks lined up at the right time. But the other thing, Mayor, probably to come out of this was the community consultation over this period of time. And you sort of forget when it's been going on 18 months, 2 years or thereabouts, and probably a little bit longer, how much involvement they did put into it, and a lot of involvement with our staff that we probably don't even see as councillors sitting around here. So it is a good outcome. People might think it was never going to happen. Well, it is going to happen. Be awarded tonight, and I imagine our director will be on the phone in the morning and say, now get your skates on. So it will protect that beautiful foreshore of Penguin well into the future, Mayor.
Thank you. Motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. We have a couple of questions. Councillor Beswick, you had a question for the director.
Yes, Mayor. Just wondered if the director could give us an update on the Queen's Garden Roundabout project. I've had a few comments from the community. Naturally, they're excited about it, but are keen to see it finished. It just seems to be, unfortunately, running behind schedule. So just if you could give us an update, please.
Prepared a bit of an update a few days ago, and I've just added to that a little bit, so just to refresh on that and then what's going on now. Works commenced on site on the 19th of March 2020. Work to date has included clearing and grubbing, demolition, excavation, pavement, curb and channel and footpaths. Apart from sealing, the work on the car park and southern car park entrance is nearing completion. The curb and paths near the car park and McDonald's are also nearing completion. The project has been delayed for several reasons. These include weather, COVID-19, the contractor reduced team numbers as part of their COVID safety and compliance plans, the current Tazwater contract, timing and location of the main affected some of our works, the additional works, which included excavation of unsound subgrade and additional earthworks, and various latent conditions. These included TAS Networks cables, Telstra cables, manholes and drainage lines. The issues around the Telstra cables in King's Parade are causing the current delays. The contractors involved and council officers are working toward rectifying this as soon as possible. A replacement precast pit on the main fibre optic line is coming from out of state and won't be delivered until at least the end of the week. It is preferable that this work is undertaken prior to commencing work on the Queen's Garden area, as traffic will require diversion in both directions for access to the walls and landscaping. We're continuing discussions with Civilscape to enable the earliest completion of the project.
Councillor Diprose, you also had a question for the director.
I just have, I've had a couple of people contact me regarding there being no rubbish bin at the taxi rank. And their concern as to that's not going to get any better as time progresses. I know there's one across the road, but people are not in, they just don't walk across there. Can we look at getting one put there, please, to stop the build-up of rubbish, and like especially on weekends when, like, you know, people are walking around, probably had, you know, they've had a few drinks, they're probably carrying a stubby and have to get rid of it before they get into a taxi and everything else, and they're just being left. So I don't know about anyone else, but it certainly makes sense to me that you would have a rubbish bin where a taxi rank is. So if we can look at that, please.
Answer that now if you like. We have looked at that when earlier discussion on that came in. We've monitored the bin across the road and the taxi rank and actually haven't found very much rubbish there at all, even though there's a lot of talk about a lot of rubbish there. Our findings are not. But the bin over the other side of the road really doesn't cover an area anymore, so we are going to move that across the road to near the taxi rank in due course, but just when the works teams are in the area, not just as a special project, so it will be moved over to the taxi rank.
Thank you, that sounds like a good idea, good solution.
10.15 is organisational services and there are no matters for decision, which brings us to the last, the last item, which is a question, Councillor Fuller, for myself.
Thank you, Mayor. A question, so I had the pleasure of attending the meeting of the NIADA Action Group on Saturday as per their invitation, and they're a very organised, passionate, intelligent, articulate group of individuals, so it was great to be in their company. I have circulated to all councillors today a document called Gauging the Attitudes of Nature-Based Tourists Towards Transmission Lines, which is a document that they have compiled, a research document they've compiled that they ask that I circulate to you all for your reference. They thank the General Manager for her response to their recent correspondence. The question, Mayor, to yourself was whether or not you would consider in working with the General Manager to arrange for either a meeting or a workshop with them to discuss after any changes are made to the legislation or approvals given at a state level about how Central Coast could work together with members of its community going forward in relation to development applications for the transmission lines and what that relationship between council and those constituents might look like. So they just asked that I would ask you in the public section of the meeting to please give that consideration, whether it be a workshop with councillors or a meeting with yourself and the General Manager, and reach out to them and arrange that. They would certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
Brings us to the end of our meeting this evening, or the open part of our meeting. We're going to go into closed in a couple of minutes. So thank all of those for attendance to this part of the meeting.